I sent everyone a source sheet for today's topic, which is the sugya of Tosefes Shabbos, as opposed to reinventing the wheel on this particular sugya and creating my own source sheet. I'm going to borrow one that's available for free online. It's a good resource to know about anyway, called olamot.net. What this is basically is it's primarily based in Israel, though not only, and basically people from I don't know where around the world, I suppose, submit. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but basically you can create and submit source sheets that they put together. Together also with Shiurim, if you log, you create a login, you can get full Shiurim. I get about a Shiur, it's not every week, it's whenever someone posts one. So it might, sometimes it'll be 2 to 3 Shiurim a week, sometimes it'll be a little drier and I won't get one for a few weeks at a time. But every once in a while it just pops up in my inbox that there's a new Shiur on Olamot on whatever topic. And there's some good stuff here. They do a nice job. Usually the shiurim are pretty comprehensive. And this one they recommend is a 2-part shiurim, and they have lots and lots and lots of makorot that are here. They use, as you can see, the original text, the Siras Hadaf from the various Sfarim, not just from the Gemara, but all the Sfarim together with underlines, which make it pretty easy to see. I do find that sometimes the underlines are not necessarily particularly helpful in terms of focusing on the exact lines that necessarily need to be read. Sometimes the Gemara is just kind of random. What? I don't know. Yeah, sometimes it's in the middle. You should, I don't know, like if you look at this Gemara here on page 1, Rosh Hashanah. But be that as it may, it certainly is very helpful. And usually the Shiurim are pretty comprehensive. They give the basic makoros on whatever the issue is. I'll be adding a few, but most of the classic sources on this topic, especially like a classic Lamdashe Sugya, which Tosefes Shabbos certainly qualifies as falling under that category, usually that's pretty comprehensive in terms of the source sheets. Okay, so as we continue through Tefillah HaShachar, this is a sugya, it's a topic that comes up not only once but twice. So what I'd like to do is as follows: to number one, review the relevant sugya here, just to anchor our learning in our parak. Then to, that's number one. Number two, to do a little bit of a tour de shas, just to give a quick sort of not all of shas, but at least of the 6 gemarot where this sugya comes up, which includes our own, and just to sort of give an overview of how the sugyot present themselves and play themselves out. After that, we'll address a number of basic key issues with regard to the sugya. Number one, is there necessarily a chiyuv? In other words, does it really exist at all necessarily? Is that 100% clear? If not on the level of halachal masa, at least on the level of learning. Number two, assuming that it does exist, what is the level of the obligation of Tosefes Shabbos? Number three, what is the shiur, the minimum amount and maximum, but primarily we'll address the minimum amount of Tosefes Shabbos, and we'll look at the underlying reason that goes to one critical Lamdisha question with regard to the sugya, and then we'll turn to the very nature or the very sort of essence of the obligation. What exactly is it that we're required to add, and to what extent is Tosefes really an entirely new day? Or is, to what extent are we really investing what was previously Friday with full-fledged Kedushat Shabbat, or is it just to desist from Mr. Malacha, and what are the ramifications of that? Some very, very well-known classic debates between the Taz and the Maharshal, as well as a number of other mikorot on that topic as well. And then finally, a little bit of Hashkafa at the end, which probably will certainly go into next week, in terms of the underlying sort of reasoning for, or significance, the greater significance of this obligation of adding to Kiddusha. So that's sort of the basic framework. I have not prepared any Purim Torah, despite the time of year that's relevant to the sugya. So you'll forgive me, bimocham me in advance, but there's always a shir next week. That's left my cup downstairs, that's true. Is it still there?
It's waiting for you.
Okay. So that's the Gemara. I'm just mocking the Gemara Bava Basra, so I'm not telling you. A little bit of Purim Torah. So, okay. So how does it come up in our sugya? So the relevant Gemara do appear here on page number 4 on the Olamot Sorshi, and it really comes up both on Daf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph as well as on Daf Chav Zayin Omer Beis. So let's take a look at both of these sugyot. So first the Gemara Daf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph says as follows: Tios HaMincha Ha'erev So it cites the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chisla Rav Yitzchak, Hasamar Rav Kana Alach and Rav Yehuda, Lo Tzam Bevechir Tzakava Seda." That we said in the previous Gemara that with regard to Shacharis, we paskin like Rav Yehuda. The Shachar can be recited only until 4 hours, since that's how we paskin. This is the Gemara that we saw last time, and now we're going to look at it through a different lens. Hacha Mai here, however, what's the halacha with regard to the end time for Mincha? Is it Plaga Mincha like Rav Yehuda, or is it the Chachamim who say ad ha'erev? So ishtik v'lamar leiv l'midi. Amar Rav Chista nechzianam midirav matzli shal Shabbos erev Shabbos mi ba'od yom shema mina lecha k'rabi Yehuda. So then the Gemara says adar amidir afun rav ravan lo havan lasu d'or tashma mina ina lecha k'rabi Yehuda. And then the Gemara concludes, as we saw, hashta d'loid mar hechza l'kamar v'lo kamar d'v'kamar avad v'kamar avad, which is the topic that we had addressed in our previous shiurim. And then the Gemara continues, rav ikla l'vei gniva v'tzali shal Shabbos v'erev Shabbos v'hava matzli v'yirmiya b'arba La Chorei D'Rav V'Siim Rav Lo Paskel Lutzlo Say, which is the Gemara. I don't want to get into all the details for our purposes. The Gemara says what's relevant for us. The Gemara extrapolates three conclusions. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yirmiya, Shema Mina Tzlas, that we can derive from this story three halachot. Number one, Shema Mina Mitzvah Adam Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Again, important halachot, but aside for us in terms of the halachot number two and numbers two and three. But the Gemara does say that mispal adam shel Shabbos be erev Shabbos, and the question for our purposes is going to be: is that purely a function of the timing of Zman Mincha, or is that additional halacha that is rooted in Tosefes Shabbos? Already, if you take a look at Tosos on the spot, Tosos Maskel Derav, Derav Tzolei Shul Shabbos Erev Shabbos, he has team with the Haminu Meferk Ba Meman Likin Vat Shel Yaktim Velo Yacher V'Yishlomer the Hasam Shino Mekav Lov Shabbos Miyad. Right, the Gemara there says that you're not allowed to light too early. Right, so the question of Tosos is the Gemara and Ba Meman Likin discussing the halachot of lighting Nero Shabbos says that you can't light too early, in addition not lighting too late. Too late, we understand, after Shkia, so that's going to be problematic. What about too early? So Tosos answers, they show me the Hazam Mashina Makabal of Shabbos Miyad, Avahacha Mary Shemakabal of Shabbos Miyad. So if you're going to accept Shabbos immediately, so then it's not considered to be lighting too early, and you can indeed accept Shabbos earlier, right? So what is that? What exactly is the time frame? The time of Shabbos like Sri Lanka Rabbi Yehuda. Looking how nachdul kamanchi espel shem otzay Shabbos. Shabbos hani Shabbos Sri Luke Rabbi Yehuda. The inyan tefilas ha'erev shishar revia kodem halayla. Afal pichein. It says in asur lasos melachem osay Shabbos miad liachar plag hamincha, and then it comes to the key point for our purposes. V'chein leinyan tosefes Shabbos ve'yom haKippurim dekaim alon shehu min haTorah imkain, which is a funny line, lo tzarech shiur gadol kol kach. Right, lo tzarech shiur gadol kol kach. So there's a lot to say about this Tosfos, but because I don't want to focus on it too much, I want to move along through the sugyot. Just a couple of observations already about this Tosfos. Number one, Tosfos has asserted that Tosefes Shabbos is a chiyuv min haTorah. Right? How do we know that that's so, and is that necessarily the case? That's number one. Number two, with regards to the shiur, and the topics we're going to have to address is the minimum shiur for Tosefes Shabbos, and Tosfos takes it for granted that, quote, lo tzarech shiur gadol kol kach, which is not necessarily so precise, right? So if I'm writing one of those contemporary halachas for him, right? So I'm going to write, lo tzarech shiur gadol kol kach, and all the contemporary readers are going to say, oh, okay, now I get it, right? So that's, is that how it's going to go? Or you need a footnote to then unpack? Tosfos doesn't come with footnotes. So, right, what exactly does that mean? We're going to see that the minimum shiur is indeed subject to substantial ambiguity. So that's one of the suyot. And then you have the Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the next Amud, where the Gemara says, right after the two dots, right below it on our source sheet, Amr Bechia Baravin, Rav Tzolei Shul Shabbos Erev Shabbos, Rav Yoshi Amatzli Shem Otzolei Shabbos Bish Shabbos. Fine. So similar halacha. So then the Gemara says, Rav Tzolei Shul Shabbos Erev Shabbos, Omer Kedusha Al Hakos, so Eino Omer Kedusha Al Hakos. Right? So what is that, right? So in other words, would he say, it's a very interesting question that Gemara is now raising. In other words, what? Right, would he...
Before it's dark, probably before 10:00.
right? Let's say. So could he? Right. Exactly. So you can already see that this is going to be a key question, right? In terms of probing the exact nature of the addition. So it's one thing to daven early. Maybe davening early is just the functioning of a chot tefillah, nothing more. It's not addition to a sefes. But I'm accepting Shabbos early. So once I accept Shabbos early, does that mean it's Shabbat l'chol davar? Can I recite Kiddush or can I not recite Kiddush? What are the ramifications of the fact that I can say Kiddush? What does that mean in terms of to what degree this really constitutes a full-fledged Kiddushat Hayom? Right? What about the Se'uda? Right? Can you eat at this time as well? Can you eat early? Right? Of course, we know we do that contemporarily during the summertime. But the question is that really what's the halachic basis? Is it is an obvious matter that that is halachically permissible? So the Gemara says, "Tashma dam Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel Salad Shabbos Shabbos Be'er Shabbos Ve'Omer Kedusha Lakos." And then the Gemara has a similar parallel discussion with regard to Motzai Shabbos. Rav Yoshia Matzai Shal Motzai Shabbos V'Shabbos Omer Avdala Koso Ino Omer Avdala Koso Toshma Dam Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Mesadam Shal Motzai Shabbos V'Shabbos V'Omer Avdala Al Hakos. Okay, so this is our suggestion. You can start to see how Tosfos raises or starts to bring out the issues in terms of the questions with regards to the level of the obligation. You can see that the Gemara itself begins to probe the nature of this addition and says, to what extent can I apply or can I implement regular practices of Shabbos already at this time, right? Which presumably would begin to open up, or at first glance at least, we'll see the Rambam may be an exception to this analytical approach, but would seem to beginning to probe the question as to what extent this really constitutes a full-fledged beginning to the day of Shabbos. So that's our local sugya here, at least in a nutshell, the quickie version. And again, as I said, this sugya of Tosfos Shabbos appears in a wide range of contexts in Shas, in the Gemara, and we're going to do a quick summary of five additional sugyot. So probably the most foundational one is the Gemara in Masechet Yoma. If you go down, where is it? It's at the bottom. If you go, it's really up. If you go to the bottom of, right, it's on the bottom, page 3. Right, Daf Pei Aleph. So, right, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph 2 Amud Beis. We're not going to read the whole sugya inside. But briefly, the Gemara here starts with the requirement of Tosefes Inui on Yom HaKippurim. Tosefes, interesting enough, if you take it on the basis of this sugya, as well as the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, at least, as we'll see, the Gemara seems to start, right, and the Rambam will follow this as well as we'll explore as well, the halacha starts with Tosefes Inui on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara is the drasha of Me'erev from that, the Gemara v'Nisim Esnaf Shosechem, etc. The Gemara derives the extension of Inoy Yom HaKippurim. So note A, Tosefes does not start with Shabbos, and B, it doesn't even start with that which is most obviously relevant on Shabbos, which is, of course, the Isser Melach. Indeed, it starts with something that is inapplicable to Shabbos entirely, because, of course, there's no obligation of Inoy when it comes to a typical Shabbat. Nonetheless, that's where the sugya starts. The Gemara then is a series of Joshua to extend that not only to Tosefes, from Tosefes Inoy Yom HaKippurim to Tosefes Melach and Yom HaKippurim, then to Tosefes Yom Tov and Tosefes Shabbos as well. And that indeed seems to be the conclusion of the sugya. The Gemara seems to arrive at the conclusion that there is an obligation of Tosefes. A Tosefes not only Inoy but Malacha as well, not only Yom HaKippurim but Yom Tov and Shabbos in addition. If I were to ask you, is this obligation Chiyuv Min HaTorah or Chiyuv Min Derabanan based on the Pashas of the Sugya, what would you say?
Sounds like it's
Derabanan. Sounds like it's, but it's all function of Drashot, if it wasn't clear.
Wait, I was going to say Tam Lomar.
Yeah. But again, we're doing a little bit of a flyby, a little bit of a breeze through. But the Gemara is clearly working with Drashot here. So unless you say it's an Asmach Leviam, which you can always say if you want. But Talmud Lomar, right? Real Drashot. It sounds like to me, right? Sounds Doraisa at first glance, I think. And so that's another key sugya for our purposes.
How are you understanding when we say this? You're saying this obligation.
Yeah, correct. The Gemara in Brachot, it's a great point. The Gemara in Brachot does not explicitly say, tell me if I'm understanding
your question. I'm just wondering how something's an obligation if you're calling it Tosefet. Mm-hmm. Tosefet means to add on to what I would assume would be the obligation. This is the additional
right
part, which is usually associated with us. I mean, most of us don't. We don't feel we have an obligation to make Tosefet Shabbos every week.
Well, we're going to have to discuss what the minimum shear is, but...
Okay.
What?
Unless we're
doing that real. Are you speaking with them on their behalf with that?
Handling before skia.
That's the seven shots.
Could be. And that you feel obligated to do. Yes?
No, I'm just struggling with meaning.
Language implies that it's not an obligation.
Language what? The language of Tosefis.
Yeah.
Well, let's...
What do you mean Tosefis Shabbos? Okay, that's the...
Yes and no. It's a good point.
There's a mitzvah and there's a commandment to add on to that mitzvah.
It sounds like a hitter.
What?
So you're saying it sounds like a hitter.
Right, but I don't have an obligation to do hitter mitzvah.
Right.
It's great.
Right. Now, just to point out, is it fully the same? So, for example, if I accept Shabbos an hour early and I violate Melacha at that time... Is there a chiyuv skila?
I'm going to guess you're going with no.
What?
Yeah, it's always with machlokas. It's always the answer.
Okay, this is Purim. It's Purim. It's an Adar, and therefore machlokas is wrong.
There's a difference between saying...
So I'm just saying, in other words, even if it's chal min ha-Torah, it doesn't have the same onash. So even once
it's there versus you must accept.
Okay.
Another way to say it is that one is generated by Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? Shabbos is Kfiya v'Kaima, and that's why we say Mekaddish Shabbos as opposed to Mekaddish Yisrael v'Hazmanim, the Gemara Beitza, and Daf Tesvav, etc. So the point is, one is created by Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the other one is created really by mankind. And in that sense, it's Tosefis, even if it were then, and even if it were binding to add, but it's still my addition.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the human piece, which we're going to come back to.
Okay, so Tosefis reflects the human piece of it.
Which you're going to come back to.
Okay.
That could be as well. But it's a good point. So that's sugya number two. The sugya in Rosh Hashanah I'm going to do even shorter. We're going to touch on a little bit. It's going to overlap with the Gemara in Moed Katan as well. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, first of all, at least the latter portion of the Gemara is basically the same as the sugya in Yuma, which interesting though, and this connects as well with sugya number, I guess it would be sugya number four, which is the Gemara Moed Katan and Daf Gemara Beis to Daf Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as well as in Moed Katan. So I'm going to address or include Moed Katan here as well. The Gemara links between, surprisingly in a sense, the Gemara links between this debate and yet another debate as well. That other debate is a machloket in an area that's highly relevant on the one hand to this time of year, although we wouldn't have necessarily expected to see it coming out of the sugya, certainly once we learn the sugya in Yuma, which is the topic of, or the requirement of Tosefes Shvi'is, adding to the Shemitah year. How is that relevant? First of all, we had to find some excuse to incorporate Tosefes Shvi'is at some point in this year, number one. Number two, Tosefes Shvi'is is a subject of fascinating debate in the Mishnayos and in a number of Sugyot and Shas as well. The Mishnah, for example, in Shvi'is, Paragalf Mishnah Dalet, cites a debate there. It presents as Machabusim Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael. When it's quoted in the Gemara and Breitot and Shas, it appears as a debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. It would seem to be the same debate. And the question is, how do we understand the Pasuk of Becharishu Vakatsir Tishmos, which appears, I believe, in Shmos Parak Lamed Dalet? I think it's in Kitisa. And the pasuk there simply says Becharish Vakatsir Tishbos. The simple pshat in terms of the context of the pasuk is that it's a reference to desisting from melacha, from those melachot, specifically on Shabbat. However, the Gemara understands, the Mishnah already understands that would be superfluous. We already know there's a set of Yisurim melacha with regard to Shabbat. So the question is, what does this pasuk come to add? So Rabbi Akiva comes along and claims that in fact this refers to, and again it's a stam tana as it appears in the Mishnah. First paragraph of Shvi'is, that this is a reference, in fact, to Tosefes Shvi'is. This is, in other words, Becharish Vakatsir Tishbos, not with regard to Shabbos, but with regard to something else that's called Shabbos, namely with regard to the Shemitah year. It's an obligation to begin the Shemitah year early. Midoraisa, we assume that the Shemitah year, at least Bezman Shabbos Mikdash Hayekayim, according to the conclusion of the Gemara in Moed Katan, was mandatory to add 30 days onto Shemitah, so that you start from essentially the beginning of Elul rather than the beginning of Tishrei, again, no longer enforced halacha l'masa. There's no obligation of Tosefos nowadays, even though at one point there was a chiyuv midrabanan as well as an additional rabbinic overlay. None of those are in force anymore. In fact, much of the first two prakim of Masechet Shviyot are no longer applicable in practice, which is a pretty remarkable thing. I don't mean like Seder Taharos, where much of it is not Rukachim, etc., where much of it is not practiced nowadays. I mean, it's not halacha l'masa, as you take prakim, and even though we observe this general area of halacha, this particular area that is essentially wiped from the record books, which is pretty remarkable in its own right. But be that as it may, Rekiva understands that that's the obligation to add 30 days to the shiur a year. The sugyot here take it for granted, remarkably, that actually, according to Rabbi Akiva, not the Yom Kippur, but rather Tosefos Shviyos is in fact the source for the obligation to be mosif to the Isur Melacha with regard to Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is fascinating, which is closer to home in a sense, because here we're not talking about an Isur or an obligation of Ino, or rather we are talking about an Isur Melacha, albeit one that has some significant differences perhaps between Shvita on the one hand and Shabbos on the other. Right? You're allowed to be lush, for example, on Shviyos, and so on and so forth, but nonetheless, there's perhaps enough overlap that serves, in fact, as a source for the Chiyut Tosefah. And then the Gemara goes on to say, whereas, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Becharosh HaBakatzir Tishpos refers to something else entirely. He understands that it essentially teaches us that there's an obligation to, there's an Isser of Katsira, is a prohibition against uprooting or detaching living vegetation with regard to Dvar HaRishus. With regard to Dvar Mitzvah, however, it's permissible and perhaps even mandatory to uproot, to quote-unquote violate the Isser of Katsira. And he says, Yatza Katsir HaOmer Shehu Mitzvah, that the halakha was that they would be Kotzer the Omer on the night of the 16th, and that was something that they would do even when the night of the 16th of Nisan took place on Shabbos. And so therefore, the Pasuk comes to teach us that special Chiddush. And according to that, it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Shemitah at all, to Din the Shabbos. It has to do with a particular Katsir HaOmer, nothing to do with us whatsoever. I asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, what do we do with this pasuk? Says the Gemara, excuse me, what's the source for the chiyuv of Tosefos with regard to Shabbos, Yom Tov, etc.? So there, the Gemara Shoshana and Moin Katan as well seems to say, oh, there we come on to the sugya in Yuma. That's the source, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the source is, in fact, going to be from, for Tosefos Shabbos, is going to be from from the requirement of Tosefos Inoy on Yom HaKippurim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what is the source for the chiv of Tosefos Shviyos? So there it would seem that Rabbi Shmuel, al pi pshuto, seems to understand that that emerges not from the pasuk of Becharosh HaKatzir Tishpos clearly, but rather on the basis of a halacha l'Moshe Sinai. Now again, if I were to ask you, if you take this Gemara and I would ask you, is Tosefos, according to Rabbi Akiva, who derives Tosefos Shabbos not from Yom HaKippurim, rather from Tosefos Shviyos, is Tosefos Shabbos a chiv min HaTorah or a chiv min HaRabbanan, what would you say? Right, the Chora would seem it's the same. The Gemara, again, is assuming there's no indication that the level is any different. It's a question as to what the source is. So again, the Pashat Shad from this Sugya as well is with the Rebbe that the Chora right, al pi pshuto, in this context as well. So that's sugyot 3 and 4. There are two other gemarot that are relevant. One is the Gemara in Beitza and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Beitza, notice that all these gemarot, aside from the brachot, are all from Moed. And interestingly enough, that the one Masechet, where so far as I know Tosefos does not come up, at least directly or explicitly, despite Tosefos' question, is Masechet Shabbos. Just an interesting factoid as I think about in context of our sugya. Again, maybe relevant for the Rambam, as we will see. So the fifth sugya is Gemara Beitza on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Why do they call Maseches Beitza instead of Maseches Be'ah? So this is the raya from Rabbi Nuchananel's poem at the beginning of that Masechet by that name, where he says something like Bizchus, or whatever the wording is, Gidol Ha'etza Aschil Be'ezer. I think Gidol Ha'etza Aschil Maseches. Fill in the blank. Okay, what rhymes with Eitza? Okay, is Beitza. So that's my raya. That it's properly called. It's properly called Maseches Beitza. I gave this raya. Mentioned this raya to Rabbi Levine. So Rabbi Levine responded that he thought it's not a good raya. Why? He said that why do they say Be'ah? So it's a euphemistic usage, right? Because in Yiddish, in Eastern Europe, beitzim were a reference to one's body, right? To a body part. And so there he said, yeah, when Rabbi Yochanan was writing in North Africa, back in the 10th century, there's no need for a euphemistic reference, but it came later, and in deference to that more modern usage, that's why they started to change it. But there was never a claim that it was called that. Allah Moshe Messinaim and Hashem Baruch Hu gave this Masechet. He gave this Masechet to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It wouldn't be right. It wasn't called Be'ah, despite the sanctity of the Yiddish language. So be that as it may. So the Gemara there is discussing really context of Tochacha. It's one of the four classic Marot about Tochacha. In particular, it's addressing the question as to whether I'm obligated to deliver Tochacha even if the individual will not accept what I have to say. And the Gemara seems to say that the answer to that question is contingent on whether I'm discussing or I confront a mitzvah chiyuv midrabanan or chiyuv min haTorah. If it's a chiyuv midrabanan, then I only give the tochacha, I only deliver the rebuke if I'm confident that the person will listen. However, it's a chiyuv min haTorah, then perhaps I even have an obligation to deliver that rebuke even if I'm quite confident that the recipient of that rebuke will not heed my words. Now, halacha lemaasai, we don't necessarily assume that bizman hazeh, but be that as it may, the Gemara invokes the example of Tosefes. People were not necessarily observing Tosefes, which goes to this conversation we had earlier. They weren't familiar with it, or they did it anywhere, whatever it may be. So Gemara says that's an example of something that would require a tochacha because that is a chiyuv min haTorah. So Gemara again seems to say quite explicitly or take it for granted that this is indeed a biblical obligation. So that's a Gemara number 5. And then the sixth and final sugya that I want to mention is the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the pasuk of Ha'ezrach with regard to the obligation to sit in the sukkah, the obligation of Sukkot, more generally speaking. And the Gemara, at least the conclusion of that sugya, at least within one opinion, if not the pure conclusion of that Gemara, is that Ha'ezrach comes to be marbeh, women, to the obligation of Tosefes Yom Tov, and presumably Tosefes Shabbos in Yom HaKippurim as well. The Gemara said that I might have thought that they're exempt for a variety of reasons. The Gemara's conclusion is that indeed women are obligated in Tosefes as well. But the most obvious reason to exempt them is, of course, because it would seem to be a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. More on that probably next week. So those are the basic sugyot. What seems to be emerged pretty clearly is that A, this is an obligation. B, there seems to be some probing as to the extent of that obligation or the impact with regard to Kiddush, etc. Kiddush Avdallah, that's a point in the sugya, which is important as well. And it also seems to be fairly clear cut that whether the source is Yom HaGibur on the one hand or Shavuos on the other hand, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, etc., that it would appear al pishuta to be indeed a chiyav min haTorah. And nonetheless, despite that, there seems to be some question, as I mentioned in our framing at the outset, number one, whether or not this chiyav truly exists, and number two, if it indeed it does exist, is it 100% clear-cut that it is indeed a chiyav min haTorah? Now, what in the world would be the basis for this alternative possibility? Why in the world would anyone suggest such a thing? So leave it to the Rambam to make things interesting for us. Why and what way does the Rambam make things interesting? The Rambam addresses Tosefes Shavas really in two contexts, one by omission and the other by, if you will, commission or an explicit reference to a halakha that, again, specifically omits Tosefes Shavas. So where are these two halachos in the Rambam? I don't remember if they specifically put it on the source sheet. I think I remember being surprised that they're not here. You can tell me if you find it. But I don't think that they're here, which is maybe they wanted to be more focused on halacha l'maaseh. So the Rambam addresses this in two contexts. The first one is in Hilchos Shavuos Asar, so I'm going out of order in the chronology, as it were, of Mishneh Torah. Hilchos Shavuos Asar, Berak Al Halacha Vav, the Rambam records a very simple halacha, that there's a biblical obligation to add to Inoy of Yom HaKippurim. Inoy of Yom HaKippurim. Okay, new, say better, right? I don't know. The original halacha of the Gemara in Yuma, the Rambam has. The rest of that whole discussion, the Rambam omits. So that's a very striking halacha. That's number one. Things also get interesting, and right seems to say Darshini once again is the Rambam's treatment of our Sugan Brachot in Perek Chavted of Hilchot Shabbat Halacha Yod Aleph, where the Rambam cites this halacha, because again the Gemara's conclusion seemed to be Rab Tzali Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, right, and Masari Shabbos B'Shabbos, and it does seem that although there are different practices at the time of the Amoraim, then that indeed is the halacha. How does the Rambam codify this halacha? So the way that the Rambam seems to present these halachot is not as we would have expected, which is how most Rishonim understand. Most Rishonim understand what that what this means is that, right, I'm saying Kiddush, right, I can daven early, right, and say Kiddush, as the Gemara concludes, right, on Erev Shabbos, because why, right? Because of Tosefes Shabbos, right? And indeed, if you take a look at the Or Zeruah in streaming this halakha, and other Rishonim, they say this 100% black on white. I'm just going to pull up the Rambam and read it for you, because the Rambam does not understand the halakha this way. The Rambam rather seems to be understanding that this is a significant Kiddush, not with regard to Tosefes Shabbos, but rather with regard to the parameters of Kiddush and Havdalah. All right, what is the Rambam, right? I'll pull it up in a second. The Rambam essentially seems to explain that the reasoning for this halacha is not because Shabbos has begun, right, or Shabbos, as it were, has ended early, but rather the point is that this is a Kiddush with regard to the context of the timing of Kiddush. If I were to ask you the following question, does Kiddush need to be recited on Shabbat?
I normally would say yes. Sounds like normal.
Right. So Josh is already anticipating everything, right? Josh is one step ahead of the game, right? So that's exactly right. These are the kinds of questions. I think these are the kinds of questions we're not supposed to ask in class, right? Am I right? Okay. This is Purim. I said this is other modeling. So good. So here's how the Rambam says exactly. Josh anticipates the analysis. Yishlo la'adam. Again, it's Perek Chavtes Halach Yed Aleph in Hilchot Shabbat. Yishlo la'adam l'kadosh. Al hakos erev Shabbos mi be'od yom af al pi shelo nichnesa haShabbat v'chein mavdil al hakos mi be'od yom af al pi she'adayin hi Shabbat shemitzvat zechira le'omra. The mitzvah of zechira, in other words, of Kiddush, zechor yom haShabbos l'kadosho b'mishas k'nisaso v'yitziaso b'im kodem l'sha'a zo bimat. I'll read that again. Unbelievable. Shemitzvah zechira leomra bein bishas kinisato v'yitziato bein kodem l'shazo bimat.
Bimat.
What does that mean, bimat? Right? It's like those ones, right? Okay. That's right. Okay. What is the Rambam saying here? Something unbelievable, right? Pashtos in the Rambam, and the majority of Achronim understand this, although some of the notes say Kehle and try to reinterpret what the Rambam is trying to suggest. But really, the Pashtos Pshat in the Rambam, especially put it together with the Chashvi Yisrael, is Rambam is saying like this. Yes, you can say Kiddush early. Yes, you can say Havdalah early. But that's because, right, that they don't actually need to be recited, right, at that time. In other words,
what?
Was
Masli Sol Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos in the Gemara? He davened early.
What is davening? What did he daven?
So I don't have to daven on Shabbos?
Which is... Right, which is... Let me just speak up the Rambam for a second.
What does the Kiddush have to do with Tosefet Shabbos for the Rambam?
No, the point is it doesn't. The Gemara is not approved to Tosefet Shabbos. What does that do to the Gemara that did in Kiddush?
Right, exactly. And the Kiddush and Kiddush is that it could either be on Shabbos, which is what we always think, or it could be right close to Kolim Shazo Bimat. I heard someone quote Rav Tversky from IU who tried to define this a little bit more precisely. The Rambam says you can recite Kiddush when the beginning of Shabbos is halakhically imminent. That was how he wanted to say it. Which is, I think, a more precise... It doesn't give you an exact amount of time, but I think is at least a more precise formulation. Same thing for Havdalah. When Shabbos is over, or the conclusion of Shabbos is halachically imminent. Right? We generally assume that that's from Chag HaMincha, which is what it would seem from the Sugya.
Well, most people didn't expect it. They didn't really end Shabbos early.
Correct. It doesn't mean that that Shabbos is over.
Okay,
sorry, no, but again, it's a din Havdalah. You can recite, according to the Rambam, you can recite Havdalah before Shabbos is over.
So the Rambam start playing on that, saying it doesn't really mean.
Now, Shabbos again, it would just be all kos. It wouldn't necessarily. It wouldn't be the age.
It doesn't really mean Shabbos began also.
Exactly. Same exact thing, right?
So, but you don't have to say Kiddush again once Shabbos begins.
No.
You're completely.
No, you don't say 100%.
Right? Kiddush is not to be on Shabbos.
That's right.
The Shiloh becomes. How does he read that Gemara about Matzli?
About what? So it's a good question. I think what he would say is that, is that the criteria for Maariv are not necessarily the same as the criteria for Shabbos. That Maariv has, because of the Korban, the Rambam uses Korbanot as a very strong basis, although he has the reference to Avod, Nechom Lachim, and Hilchot Tvila, it's all Korbanos all the time. So I think he would say, just like we distinguish between Zman Tvila and Zman Kriyashma, where Zman Tvila can be incredibly early, as we were discussing earlier, right? Whereas Zman Kriyashma, right, the Pashas and the Sugim Brachot is that it's a much later time than that. Pashas is not like Rabbi Natan, Pashas is like the Rush, right, in Rav Rishonim. That no one would ever have conceived of the possibility that you can start to say Kriyashma from Plag HaMincha, whoever heard of such a thing. So the same thing, L'chora would be true here as well, that Maariv, you see from here that Maariv is totally not on the day, but rather on the Zman HaKorbanos. And it's really a different kind of thing. It's not a function of which day on the calendar it is.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to what the words that you're saying.
Oh, you're saying you're davening, right? I hear that. So I don't know. What would you say? Now, well, just be careful though, because Bisman HaGemara, I don't believe.
Right. I
think that they said Shachol Pashas Bisman HaGemara. That sounds crazy, right? Right. That's Tosus's point that we discussed in context of Tashlumen, right? So Atachonim, they would say on Friday night. But they would say on every Friday night. I think I could be wrong, but I don't believe that it was written yet.
Right.
Remarkable, think about it, but I think it's probably true. So there are, now it should be said for the record that there are achronim who are so troubled by this because it flies in the face of the Gemara. And so there's a methodological question which you always have to ask with the Rambam. What happens when the internal reading of the Rambam seems to weigh in one direction, but the sugya weigh differently? So
it's such a hard reading of the Gemara.
Well, the Rambam is saying that there's no obligation to Tosefta Shabbos.
Bichlal!
That's what. Not in our sugya, that's okay. The question is, what about the Gemara Numa? And what is he doing in Paragraph of Lachavav? She says Asor. That's the difficult piece. So this is a really hard thing. To the point that some Achronim try to reinterpret the Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah comes along and suggests, really, it seems to be saying, what the Rambam is really saying is that sugya is just an Asmachta Biyama. It's an Asmachta, which is very nice, right? What's the problem, though? If it's an Asmachta, it's still what? First of all, it's a difficult reading of the sugya. Okay, fine, but that's not crazy, right? But what's difficult in the Rambam? Right? L'chora, what's difficult in the Rambam is that if it's a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan, then the Rambam should have cited this obligation somewhere in Sefer Zmanim. He's got an entire Sefer. And he's got one set of halachos for Shabbos, another set for halachos, right, for Yom Tov, another set of halachos for Yom Kippur. He's got halachos Tefillah. He's got all these contexts in which you could have mentioned it, and yet, right? Right, there's nothing doing. So Seitz Achim Garbanan seems a little bit difficult. There are other explanations. We're going to have to wait till next week. But the Pashtas, and I think the more recent trend among Achronim, including the view of the Meshech Chachma, which is not all that recent, but more recent, relatively speaking, of the Shvili Eish, of Weinberg as well, they understand as well that the Rambam really meant to say this. Now, how the Rambam understands this probably has to do with his Derech HaPsak in terms of relying on Midrashei Halacha against the Bavli, and maybe within the Bavli itself, it depends on Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and it gets complicated that way. You have to sort of unknot and work through the sugya, but that bottom line is, however the Rambam deals with the preponderance of evidence of the contrary, including the Gemara and Beitza, nonetheless, this would seem to be the Psak. So I do think that's a much on the Rambam's with difficulty. God willing, next time we'll explore the possibility that it's Chiyuv, but only Midrabanan, not only the Magen Mishnah, but alternative, another Rishon on the Mordechai as well. And then we'll go from there, segue into the Shir, as well as the very nature of this obligation. Have a wonderful day.